You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
Hey everyone, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Around the NFL Podcast. Struggles through the pressures of fatherhood, but still looks great, baby.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I am Dan Hansis. I got heroes here. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. And it is Wednesday, but that can only mean one thing. 1051 Club in the house, Colleen.
Whoa! What's up, what's up? Hey, guys.
Hi.
Left my house today and immediately texted Dan with the GPS ETA, which was just about 1051.
Yep.
As was he. So we're really aligned.
Right on the money.
It's your precision is incredible to Greg and I.
And it's
consistency
not,
too.
It's just, it is. That's it. Consistency.
Yeah.
And accountability. 1051 Club forever. How's everybody doing? Midweek show. Hump day.
I thought it was Thursday when I woke up, so I don't.
Same
I'm not
as
sure. Yeah.
That Dan spilled water all over the place.
Colleen's days just feel lighter. They feel better, you know?
See, I have the opposite feeling.
Yeah.
With me?
Yeah, just is like it a sense of dread. Yeah.
Is it the Homicide Division sweatshirt that I'm wearing?
The Philly Homicide Division hoodie is, I guess, yeah,
with a great catch line. Things. They came up with a great catch line there. What is
our,
it?
Our day begins when yours ends. It's, I got a buddy
oh
down.
Oh, my goodness. It's morose.
It's accurate. I mean, often.
I'm in the Christmas spirit.
Does that mean they work at night, or does it,
no,
mean what I think it means?
It's there's a Grim Reaper literally as
They're
part of the
never off the clock.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like when your day meets your life journey ends.
Yeah.
What was
our
that,
day
Mark?
That's when they start.
You can die, by the way.
Maybe that would be a good slogan, too. Then, Mark, maybe you get some residuals off
well,
it.
Well, let's say you're allowed to, and then we'll probably handle it if it seemed nefarious.
Detective Murray will be on the case.
We care about you, and we care about who you were.
All right. Coming up today, NFL odd couples. How about that? What are some pairings in our league that, on the surface anyway, don't make sense or not what you expect?
Mm-hmm.
Good one. Good seg coming up.
I think Greg came up with that.
But he did.
Good job.
So the pressure is on Greg to make it sing.
I choose not to accept that pressure.
We also have a bunch of previews to hit because we have a Thursday night affair, Chargers and Raiders. And I see in a rundown you sent out, Greg, you had LAX-LV. Is that because the Chargers are already ready to fly home?
Hey!
Hey-o! Got it.
Greg enjoys when he does the rundowns, and we think, I'm glad you do, because it's like you wake up and they're there.
Sure,
but, like,
there it is.
There's always like an insane spelling mistake in one of the things that he's done.
Where is this rundown that you guys are talking about?
Am I right?
Podnowness, I think you have access to it on Slack. You can always do it. I know you don't check, so I texted you.
Oh, the potential news. I got that. Okay.
First, though, let's start by getting caught up on where we're at.
Flacco on fourth down and three. Play clock is at 5. I don't know if they're going to snap it. Play clock is at 2. They do. He rolls right. He throws the middle. It's wide open. Down at the 25, at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. It's David Bell.
What a call.
Oh, my goodness. They forgot to cover
David Bell.
It was the parting of the Red Sea, Jim. David Bell, who has been searching, yearning, desiring to get into the end zone in the National Football League. Well, desire no more, my friend. His first career touchdown, and couldn't have come at a bigger time. What a gutsy call, and what execution. Flacco to Bell, and the Browns are up 2 scores.
Oh, what a call.
Whoa.
By Jim Donovan, Nathan Segura, WKRK. Cleveland Browns radio. Onside kicks are cool, though, too.
I mean, Dan, you have to be the most annoying person I've ever met, because you've been sitting on this for 48 hours. Multiple people have reached out and said, we like the anti-direction you took to go with an onside kick. And
nobody, no one reached out to you.
Absolutely.
Zero people. Show me who reached out to you.
I will spend time and get it to you. But, like, this is so important to you that I'm just, you just keep going.
Manufactured.
Just keep going.
Joke.
It's so important
it's
to you.
It's so great to hear that call, because David Bell, what a moment. What a moment in the game.
And Donovan and Segura bring the energy. It's great to see Donovan back in the mix.
He's a
legend in Cleveland. So no one on earth is saying that it's not a good play call. No one is saying they didn't do a good job.
You know, also, watching that video of the call, so fun.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if I've ever really watched a radio call or a broadcast call like that in the booth. It's awesome.
You were actually asking for the Njoku call, though. So that was the David Bell call.
So many options.
That was the last touchdown. And I'm not saying this to be annoying, although my competitive spirit, you know, got a little offended when you said Dan's the most annoying person in the room.
But now I like Dan.
Is that play eligible? Because it wasn't on the show. And yet, when I heard that call immediately, I thought that should probably be on our top 10 calls of the year long list. I think it's eligible. It's now been played on the show.
I've done my best to exhume these different calls from a great Browns
it's
win.
It's on the call. What if we...
Put it on the list, Eric. I'm making the call.
Put the onside kick on the list. Let people, you know, vote decide.
We're going to keep that one out. That's dustbin.
Yeah, figured.
All right, we can move forward with that now.
We're good now.
We're good.
Okay, we're good.
Not good. Not good at all.
The people that didn't listen to the recap show have no idea what's going on.
Screw them.
Well, what are they doing?
You're not wanted here anyway, then. Actually, pause it, go back, listen to the recap show, then rejoin.
How rich would this opening segment be if we went back and listened to that part of the show, if not the whole show?
This is a lot of tasks.
On the Sunday flagship show, come straight to our show, and away we go.
We're back in.
I like a pod with directions.
Demands.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert is done. Bad debt, bad news. Bad season. Bad season for Herbert. The Chargers. Mm. The idea of Los Angeles football, you know, getting some juice. Nah, bad, 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 bad. He is going to undergo surgery on his broken finger. And they are playing on Thursday night, obviously. So we're going to get Easton Stick.
Yep. We are.
Including Colleen, who's the anchor of NFL Network's coverage when the Chargers face the Raiders. So there's that. And then there's the general question around the future of this team. Herbert and Brandon Staley probably play their last game together as coach and quarterback. And we see what the future is. I assume it's Herbert leading the way, Mark. But I feel like this organization has a lot of unanswered questions as they head into the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder, you know, by Friday afternoon, if the coaching staff hasn't been largely whittled down. It just seems like a really real possible possibility at this point. With Herbert, it's like there's no question he's the future. And there's no question that this is a good roster in a lot of ways. They're mystifying because of how underachieving they've been. But I don't like the situation for Herbert in general, where we're looking at like his fourth core. It's going to have like this fourth new offense to learn. And like this was pitched as like Herbert and Kellen Moore, who are friends that did like, I think, car commercials up in like the Northwest.
It's a real bonding experience.
Yeah, like they just like, they're like pals. It's like, and all offseason was like, we're really going to tailor this around Herbert's strengths. And it's like, none of that looked like to happen at all. It's the worst, Herbert's worst season.
Well, some of it though is like, so we say like, you know, it's a shame that Herbert can't get that continuity. But if him and Kellen Moore take off and have a big year together this year, then probably none of this is happening. Well, the injury you can't control, but this is where I get a little bit frustrated with the Herbert experience and where he's seen. Is you can't just tell me because Mike Williams got hurt this year that the Chargers offense is where it is. Like, this is a team-wide issue, and the quarterback has to be a little better too. So I just think that's what I mean. I still believe in Herbert, but just kind of a lost year for Los Angeles. Mm-hmm.
It always is a lost year for Los Angeles. This is the constant theme with this team. Ever since I started working at NFL Network, it's like I, every offseason, love the Chargers. And I'm all in on all of the moves that they've made and all of the way that they set up their team, but especially with Justin Herbert. And it's just such a shame because it just feels like they're just wasting his career at this point. He's young. He's in his prime. He should be among the top quarterbacks in the league with like the Joe Burrows and the Mahomes and everyone, and even like the Trevor Lawrences and Josh Allen's, but like he's just not, because this team can never put it together.
Wait, the Chargers wasting the prime years of a outstanding quarterback's career?
What?
I really loved Mike Sando's article in The Athletic this week that was saying that it shouldn't just be coaching records. There should be owners' records. Mm-hmm. And he put up the owners' records. And,
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's where you see the through line. You know, they didn't know what they wasted Drew Brees, by the way, mm-hmm. you know, a Chargers quarterback. They wasted Rivers, who still had a great career and everything. And I don't think they're wasting Herbert. And I don't think this year was a disaster for him. But his best year was 2021. I think even Herbert, you know, big fans like myself would say his best year was Staley's first year, his second year in the league. And so to then have your next 2 years be worse than that individually and as a team is quite disappointing. The only thing I'd push back slightly on is like, is this roster that talented? I am very curious how this goes in the offseason, kind of the core players that they have. They all seem very up in the air to me. Khalil Mack, Joey Bosa, I think Bosa might be gone. Erwin James hasn't had a great year. Certainly the line didn't play as well. And Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are both good players, but where are their futures? So there could be a lot of change.
It just reminds me a little bit of like when the Cowboys made a switch at defensive coordinator and Dan Quinn came in and all the same players got a lot better. I think there is talent on the roster. I mean, for me, they have spent only two teams have spent more to form their defense cap-wise. They're number three behind Buffalo and Pittsburgh, and they're one of the worst defenses in the league.
That's rough.
In other news, big news, the NFL is always looking to expand its reach internationally, and we will be heading, well, I don't know about we, but that'd be cool.
We better be.
We being the NFL will be heading to South America for the first time. The NFL has already played games each year in the United Kingdom and Germany this year. And in 2024, it will be São Paulo, Brazil, the league announced on Wednesday. The date and time of the game and the teams that will play it have not been announced. It was chosen over Madrid, but I would imagine Madrid is in line as well. So that comes on the same day it was announced that the Super Bowl in 2027, which will be 61, will be played here at SoFi Stadium.
Nice little West Coast Super Bowl. Again, the international expansion is afoot. So you get Brazil, which, you know, was news to me that they're the third most it's the country where they have the third most amount of NFL fans behind the U.S. and Mexico.
Wow, that's surprising.
And it's partly because it's a lot of people there. But there are we've heard from our fans in Brazil, and obviously there's a language difference. But the English speakers, we have a lot of listeners. We had a remember they sent us a uniform. I forget who it was.
It was a
uniform.
Team
I still have that in my closet of like a Brazilian football team. So that is very exciting. And it was part of an announcement that they can now do up to 9 international games as of 2025. So that will not be next year. Technically, the Wembley Stadium Jaguars game does not count as part of the series. So
how does that work?
I didn't know that because basically they do it every year and they're saying you take that out of it. And on top of that, we can now do 8 a year. In the past, it had been 4 a year. And part of it is just a scheduling thing. They're now saying, well, instead of making you give up a home game, you know, with that 17th game every 4 years, now we can do it every 8 years. Now we can do it every 4 years. And so it's happening. And I think the idea, Mark, I'm curious what you think.
Kill at least three of us in the room?
Is to just have that early window, because they also even said publicly that they might go up from eight. I think the idea might be that early window, 6:30 on the West Coast, 9:30 on the East Coast of the U.S., is just a new window. And that's like maybe at some point that's a weekly game, because the numbers, it all makes sense. You know, the 16 games.
I appreciate the enthusiasm in your voice, Greg, over this development. It causes me slight anxiety. But I would say that if they, and I hope that they send us to Brazil. We do have a lot of people down there that listen to the show.
Uh-huh.
Same way that we built a bridge for Goodell and his friends over to Europe. We can build one to South America.
Their bare hands.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to pick6.com. I don't know what's going on their website because, you know, I can't read it. But they got 10,000 followers, and they said just book the live show right now. I like that tweet to us this morning. So
you guys are really driving this.
Try to do this.
You're driving the international expansion, and you should be proud of that.
These are the hands that built the international expansion.
Brick by brick.
Well, Henry plays a role as well.
Do you think we would all return from Brazil if we went to Brazil?
The answer is no.
I mean,
wait. What would happen?
Why would return to the United States if they sent us to Brazil?
Oh, well, sounds like it'd be a good time.
Just saying, it sounds like a nice.
Who they got?
Bookend.
They got to go big with the teams they send there too. I wonder.
Who are they? What's the main fan base?
Well, I read that the Dolphins.
Don't know anything about it.
Dolphins, you know how different teams have.
Dan doesn't want to go.
They sort of like own.
Well, I'd like to return. I would go.
Yeah. Why wouldn't we return?
That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Mark's saying he wants to stay.
He wants to disappear.
Yeah. I like how we went off of this.
Stay for 3 months and see what real life is like.
That could be anywhere.
Pounding back home 8 hours. The game ended? You're on a midnight flight an hour later to come back to L.A. and grind around the streets?
We're never sure if you're going to even get on the flight back from Indianapolis for the combine. So it's still my favorite.
We'd wait 3 days for you in Brazil, Mark, and then we'd get shook on a plane to L.A., and we'd just have to move forward.
I don't think anyone would complain, but I'm saying, it seems like we could pack in, a couple extra days in South America after the game.
Absolutely.
I'm done with that.
They always got us out, 8 minutes after. It's like you're rushing in a taxi with your bags to the airport.
You got another show to do. Right. The thought of a 6:30 a.m. kickoff window on the regular.
I mean, it already... There was five this year, right?
Yeah.
It is on the regular.
It's
happening. I do like a home.
Doing the pregame shows for that on the West Coast is selfishly, from my perspective, it is tough. I'm not going to lie.
I mean, there's a lot of complaining going on about this game. Maybe
I'm
we should just
so excited.
Cancel the whole thing. It's over.
We're turning the car around. We're going
Eric,
home.
Get Goodell on the phone. There's too many entanglements. In other news, I'm just going to keep tracking this because it's fun. The MVP odds race in Vegas per DraftKings. Dak Prescott has now jumped ahead in the race. I have some data points here. Dak, after his big game in primetime against the Eagles, is now at +150. Purdy's odds actually went up as well, but he drops behind Dak at +185. Lamar's at +475. Hurts at +650. And then Tyreek and Mahomes deep distance at 1,600. And CMC gone at 4,000 right now. Mm. So it could be turning into, and these things change quickly, but in Vegas, that's starting to point to, is this a two-horse race between Dak and Purdy?
Things change quickly because there's, 4 weeks left of the season? I think 4 weeks ago, Dak was something like +3,000. I always remember the year.
Hope somebody got in on that.
It was like Vic or Tom Brady. Vic or one of Tom Brady's best seasons ever. And then literally with 3 weeks left of the season, and then Tom Brady became the first ever unanimous MVP, even though there was even with 3 weeks to go, but Vic got hurt and had a couple bad games and Brady finished strong. And so it's all about closing kick. I think Lamar still has a pretty decent chance here.
I think there's a pretty big drop off to Hurts this time around.
Yeah, well, especially with this stretch, and it's all about the narrative and what recently happened. But every single Cowboys,
I never thought he made sense there because to me he was getting outplayed by too many quarterbacks this year. Even though he's really good, he's like a top five quarterback, top six quarterback.
He's also kind of hurt, whatever's going on with him. But every single Cowboys fan I talk to is like, no, Dak will never win this award because it's Dak Prescott, and I don't understand, about? The Cowboys lead every conversation.
If anything, he'll win the award because he's a Cowboy.
Exactly. So I don't know.
All right. Finally in the news.
And this would be the third largest. And create one long transcontinental flight home for the Chargers. Meanwhile, Jacksonville can set their sights likely on Kansas City. Here we go for the win. Got it, but there's a flag down. There's a flag down as everybody's running out onto the field, but there's a penalty marking.
Offside. Defense number 26.
And they call it on the defense.
That's the end game.
Unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
That was the call from Al Michaels with Tony Dungy of last year's wild card game between the Jaguars and Chargers, a game that the Jaguars wiped out. What was it, a 27-0 was that game?
Yes.
And that might be the last call Al Michaels ever makes in a playoff game, because it emerged yesterday in a report from, of course, our guy, Andrew Marchand of the New York Post, that Michaels, 79 years old now, will not be on the air when NBC has a primetime availability or has a playoff game availability. So he was in line to, like last year, call one of the playoff games, and it came out that they're going to actually use their college guys, Noah Eagle and Todd Blackledge. So they sideline Al, and this was a surprise to Al, because in an earlier conversation with Marchand about a month or so ago, he had no idea that that was even a possibility. So I'm sure he's furious about it. And it's, this is the way, Mark, you know, this whole insider, like, media reporting business with, these guys, it's kind of a ugly way for Al Michaels' legacy to be wrapping up here, with being told he's benched and being reported this way. But I felt it was noteworthy, because we've been talking about Al and how he's not quite the same the last couple of years.
Yeah, I think, like, anyone can see that, you know, Al Michaels, who for as long as we've been alive has been like the number one legend, and his career largely pristine, and he does it all. You don't get guys like this that announce every sport and have an ability to do it all really excellently. And, like, it made me think, like, when I saw this, like, nothing ends well half the time. Like, it's hard to be the person, the rare person, that your final moment is, you know, Peyton Manning and a bad season walking out with a Super Bowl title. Right. And it's like, it's tough when your job is to be enthusiastic, to bring fire, to be on that call, which was so lackluster and got so much attention and there was confusion. Like, age affects all that. And it's like, you're finally starting to see, like, the dotting up of age and, like, you know, how, like, are you the center of this, like, call, of this, like, game, this moment? And it's not been the same Al Michaels. I still think, though, when you hear him in interviews and stuff, there is this thing to him that no one else has. And I kind of hate it for him, because he's been in our lives and in our ears and on our television sets for the entire time.
The crazy part is NBC actually has more playoff games this year. They have three on Wildcard weekend. One of them is just on Peacock, which is the most, you know, they've never had three games like that. So, yeah, something goes on. It is sad. He hasn't been set up well at Amazon. You know, watching some of the college football playoffs, I was like, oh, this is fun seeing Kirk Herbstreit excited about a football game. Mm-hmm. It really bothers me. It's like, this is the number one sport, and I know college football and the NFL is the same sport, but it was the same reason why I always didn't like Costas on NBC. It's the number one sport in our country. You got to have guys that it's their number one sport. That's a Herbstreit side point, but it'd been on my mind, and I think it hasn't helped Al out, but also the schedule hasn't, and he hasn't helped himself out. I think it's deserved too, but it just sucks.
I think you definitely should have Al on the call while he's still around. So I disagree fundamentally about this, and I think it's not a nice thing to do for a guy who's absolutely still capable of calling the game. And I also want to say,
I just mean there's better guys out there, like Ian Eagle, Kevin Harlan, a lot of guys to me, guys way ahead of Al that it's like those guys should be on.
But then don't do that. The problem is now we're all talking about it. Like, let him do the playoff game and then you make your offseason change.
It might be a personal thing, though. There's things that we don't know that often affect these sort of things. And it's like, you know what I mean? Like you said about walking away at the right time. And I think ego is part of that, too. John Madden did it perfectly. But you got to be really looking forward to that next part. You got to be just ready to, like, give all that up, and it's a lot to give up.
Even when he's, like, not excited about the games, though, it's still Al Michaels, and you still have that comfort in the familiarity of watching so many games with him over the years. So
I'm not saying that Ian Eagle
kind of sucks, but
not the better choice or whatever at this stage. But Al's only going to be around a couple more years doing this, and so as someone who's grown up with him, I'm perfectly comfortable giving him that playoff game and letting him enjoy it. And like you said, make that change if you want after the year. I don't know. I just don't like the way it was handled. And I don't like that if that was his last game, they gave him Dungy. And Dungy was more the problem than Al on that telecast. And
Agreed.
Al kind of got dragged into it. Dungy was brutal. He was so boring and dry. Whatever.
I don't know why they thought that was going to be a good idea in the first place.
We're definitely getting texts from our friends here, the business on this one. I like it.
That's what's happening in the news. We'll be right back. Hit some Odd Couples.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back.
I love the sting. I love a sting.
The sting has been a regular part of the show.
I know, it's great.
Yeah, it's it just feels a little more official. When you have it,
I like it. The production value, all the bells and whistles. You guys are doing great.
Let's hit it again. It's so fun. Just hit it again.
Thanks, Colleen.
Yeah, all right. Welcome back around the NFL. NFL, Odd Couples. Okay, what are some unlikely bedfellows? How about that? Greg, this is your brainchild. You get us going.
Well, I really give Colleen credit. We're on a text thread, and she sent us the trenchant update yesterday with the headline, "Looks like Kevin Costner and Jewel really are a thing." Which was news to me. I didn't know there was news about that.
Mm-hmm.
I clicked on the link. There's some pictures. Pretty surprising.
Now, I sent this because I know that Mark has always really enjoyed Jewel. And when I first moved to LA in 2014, I lived across the street from a karaoke bar called The Gaslight. And Jewel famously had been there singing before.
In disguise, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And Mark told me about that, and I never forgot about it. And now anytime I see anything Jewel-related, I have to send it out. Now, there hasn't been a lot lately, but this one definitely counts.
She did have an NFL connection. Once dated Charlie Whitehurst.
That's right.
That was weird, yeah.
Former Seahawks.
Down in Rocky Top.
That was a bit of an odd couple.
Yeah.
I would say Jewel and Costner, definitely an odd couple. And look, I owned the CD Pieces of You back in the day.
Who didn't?
And so I was thinking
did
we should
really?
Think of some NFL odd couples.
You had Pieces of You?
I did. I did. I think it was part
of... What an achievement. It was like a massively...
Yeah,
like,
that was...
I didn't know many teenage guys that had pieces of you.
I had pieces of you. I wasn't even a teenager, though. But it was
it wasn't just for girls.
I was
a freshman in high school. I think I got it as part of that. You remember you get the 8 CDs from Columbia House?
Sure,
that
for
was
a penny.
I think it was one
for one penny, by the way.
We're really pump the brakes a little bit here.
What?
First of all, Juul isn't just for girls, but I follow music pretty closely, and I know a lot of people that love it. I've never seen a guy that had pieces of you in his Juul case.
And if she sold, I just would like to point out she's sold over 30 million albums worldwide.
Who will save your soul?
Yeah, I think
Foolish
there's some men
games.
In it.
I mean,
she got bangers.
Classic.
Not really a bad song on that album.
So who is?
I'm surprised by your take, Dana.
Yeah, I don't.
What's
like
my
it.
Take? What's my take?
Taking down Juul.
You said
I love Juul singles.
A guy would never have a Juul that album said, in her. In what case?
I said I never met somebody, a man that had Juul CD.
Maybe they just.
And this will be now turned around to me being some type of misogynist ass.
No,
I'm just telling you from my human experience.
That's cool.
I've never known another man in my college years or my high school years where I saw the CD.
But now
you do.
They did own
now
it.
Now I do.
They did own it, but their own internalized misogyny and their fear of you, they didn't tell you about it. They were ashamed.
All right, I hope.
Congratulations.
Let's
come out in the sun, Juul fans. We're taking over 2023.
Just everybody give themselves a round of applause for being so open-minded.
Juul heads.
So who is the Juul Kevin Costner couples in the NFL? That's what I asked, and I'm going to start with someone that's maybe around Juul's age. I don't know how old she is. It's Joe Flacco, him being back in our life with Kevin Stefanski. To me, it was the first thing that came to my mind, and I think you could even extend this to Joe Flacco and Mark Sessler as an NFL odd couple, and the Browns fans writ large finding themselves in 2023 rooting for Joe Flacco, the same guy who ripped their heart out for so many years, dominating them with the Ravens. All this cross-pollination and these two guys and Kevin Stefanski having a quarterback that is going to make some mistakes, but also will just throw the ball to where Stefanski wants to open receivers. And it's a rare couple, and you see couples out there like this that kind of look alike, something Joe Flacco was asked about. This week.
He was saying that last week. I mean, I'm a guy with a beard. So I could shave it off and look completely different tomorrow. So I probably should. It's just playing into the fact that I'm an older quarterback. If I shave this off, it would probably take 5 years off.
I love this.
His
love
accent this, is so good. It reminds me of home. I love it.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. Audubon, New Jersey.
They're like around the same age, Stefanski and Flacco, a couple years apart here. And
it is. That's a great one.
It's a moment in time, and we'll see where it goes. But I think they're a pretty legitimate team, although they have some injuries. And I think Stefanski loves showing, I am a good offensive coach. I think Flacco's helped him.
He has been good.
He's brought out the best in his unlikely partner.
They've lost 3 offensive tackles. They just lost another one. I don't know how deeper into the NFL, free agent circles and stuff you can do to solve that. But it is a little different than Big Ben was 26-2-1 against the Browns. And a largely, probably the most hated opponent for Browns fans around, just because of how, he'd like to stick it in their face. Flacco was never that way. That's all I'd say. I mean, he also was 18-3, the second best record, to the point when he won in Cleveland.
Wait, he was 18-3 against the Browns, and you're saying it wasn't that bad?
No, so I'm saying that's compared to
everybody
Big Ben.
Everybody is beating the Browns in that.
But that's right. That 18-3 is
I would just say, personally, crazy. as much distaste I had for the Ravens, it wasn't like Flacco-based so much. No. There's a bunch of other knuckleheads on that team that drove me nuts.
It's just kind of crazy, though. If you had said this before the season, it's totally crazy.
It's a totally odd sight, but I would say he's done a nice job of, in his stuff, in the locker room last week, He's very happy to be there, and there's a different kind of feel to Joe Flacco, and he's been a different athlete than we saw on the Jets.
I disagree with that.
Well, at least he looks fresh to me.
He has a better offensive line around him. I think that matters
for
a
now.
Lot. I mean, he could throw. He could always throw. I like it. I'm enjoying seeing him this way, and we'll see if it keeps up.
It's just so weird to see him in a Browns jersey, and it's like, Joe Flacco being a Brown is the most 2023 on-brand thing for the NFL. All of the different quarterbacks that we've seen. I think it's this week when Nick Mullen starts and when Easton Stick starts, it will be 57 different starting quarterbacks this season.
That is problematic.
Including 10 rookies, which is
But they've been some of the more fun quarterbacks, actually.
They have.
Some of, you know, actually, Easton Stick had one gorgeous throw the other. Colleen, I want to hear yours because you said you had five.
Okay, so
you gotta choose
this one. I cannot stop following all of the, like everyone else right now, but I'm completely in love with the DeVito family and Tommy DeVito and everything that they have following them. And so for me, the odd couple is Tommy DeVito and the rest of the NFC East fans, because I know that I'm not alone in this. And I felt so strange watching Tommy DeVito and almost rooting for the Giants on Monday night. It felt super wrong, but there was something exciting about it at the same time. And just like having been in New York last week, I went over to Brooklyn. I got some pizza. You guys know I love sandwiches. Like I feel like I essentially grew up Italian because like that's just our family is not Italian, but we act like Italians and we love everything about Italian Americans and Italians in general. So it's like this story is so fun. I'm currently trying to convince the network to like send me to the Giants Eagles game on Christmas Day so I can tailgate with the DeVitos because I really, really want them to do the Seven Fishes in the parking lot.
Do it. The Seven Fishes. Look it up if you don't know. I have a take on that. I think because Eagles fans hate the Giants and vice versa.
Yeah, it's the it's more so than the Cowboys.
You have to play them twice here down the stretch.
And they are playing twice. That's right. Mm-hmm. But here, I think part of what makes this DeVito thing so kind of fun is that it's also kind of a safe thing. Because you know DeVito, it's not like if DeVito was actually the guy that was here to save the Giants, you probably would be more afraid of him or like, oh God, this is they found somebody
what
that's amazing. But instead, he's more just like this like 2023 fun found story that you know is probably a moment in time. So it's like, oh, I'll root for this guy. He's not really
the Giants
that good.
Are bad, so
yeah,
it's not
it's
a
easier.
Threat.
Now, if you were like battling for first place right now and he was actually balling out on a high level, I think it would be a little different maybe.
A little different. And I probably will feel different if the Giants beat the Eagles on Christmas Day.
Yeah, you might feel a little different then.
But in the lead up to it right now, I mean, my heart right now is with the DeVitos.
Very nice.
And the agent, the whole thing.
The agent is, I
hope he's been busy. I hope he's been doing his job. That's all I'm saying.
The agent?
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, he's got a lot of jobs. You kidding me, that guy?
He's getting up early.
He's got waste management. He's got tow trucks.
I'm trying to, obviously, he became a big story immediately on Monday night. And then Tuesday, he was everywhere and doing media and everything. And then I clicked into his Instagram. Sean Stellato, is it?
My agent was with them that night, too. Yeah.
Whoa.
And that's funny. And there was like an Instagram post from, I think it was like months ago. And it was like, welcome Sean Stellato to the Boston Italian American Hall of Fame. And I'm like, what am I missing here? Is this guy a well-known person? This is before any of the DeVito mania.
Hall of Famer.
The Italians
can't take
know.
It away. So he's obviously done things in his career.
He's a Paisan.
I know that. I mean, that's established. I'm just curious what his other successes in life are.
That's not good enough. Fine.
Some under the radar, I imagine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
All right, Mark.
I want to double back on something we were mentioning earlier with this, which is the Chargers. And I have been doing some research and I would like to file a report on the Chargers.
Okay,
so not every coupling is just like, hey, one person and the other person, we're having a great time. It's like, you know, we live in a multifaceted universe
big
now,
time.
Right? So I look around the league and I look at the Chargers and I spot a polyamorous relationship on the rocks. It started with an air of adventure.
Right.
Right. And they always do these things. There was so much to like: a star quarterback in Justin Herbert, a bright young new thinking coach in Brandon Staley, Joey Bosa, Derwin James, talented bodies on both sides of the ball, all living together and sharing meals and passion and, you know, one shared vision of love on a grand scale. People say we can't live like this, but they don't know us, the Chargers said to themselves. But then little attachments and jealousies started to form. Some became self-interested and internal questions began to rise, asking if this polyamorous arrangement, you know, Herbert, Staley, Kellen Moore, Tom Telesco, Keenan Allen, the always banged up Mike Williams, an ownership group that left its fan base to wither in the San Diego dust, was functional or fantasy. And right now, I imagine them all gathered in the living room of their large group home, talking about why they began this love experiment in the first place, to live in a way nobody thought possible, to cast off the old, petty, toxic qualities that ended all their relationships prior. But it's just not working. It was just a phase in life, an exploration of boundaries, a time they'll never forget. But the breakup is overt and imminent.
I hate that for them. It has to end, though.
You know, exploring. Can't go forever.
Yeah, but they thought it could. They thought they could have this lifestyle that everyone said no. Like, this is why most people don't do it. This is why it doesn't work out. And they said, no, look, watch us. And now they're in this situation
where everyone thinks they're different. Everyone thinks they're a special little flower.
Yeah, right. It's like, not true.
This is what you learn, you know, at the end of every, you know, multi-part docu-series about a cult. It's like the Chargers were hoping for like 8 episodes and they only got 3, you know? It just shortened down.
Tough. Real tough sitch. But it's weird. We didn't ever got the honeymoon phase with this team.
That's just so sad the whole time. The honeymoon phase is in training camp,
They did win a bunch
though.
Of games to make the playoffs. In
adversity out of the game.
At the end.
It was over before it started.
All right. So I kind of went Connie here, and I took NFL odd couples to mean something a little bit different, but this will work.
Okay.
So the odd couple for me is the Kansas City Chiefs, and them being in cahoots or in the role of the bad guys.
Mm.
This has not happened before.
That's interesting.
This is new. And this is after a Sunday in which Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid both got after the officials and, you know, bemoaned how they're being targeted or, you know, failures by officiating are happening over and over again. And this comes from a team that's had nothing but monumental success for years. Do you have Mahomes, to Mahomes' credit, when things calmed down and he realized that, you know, I should probably hit the accelerator a little too hard. He spoke to the media with regrets about how things played out. This was yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, obviously you don't want to react that way. I care, man. I love it. I love this game. I love my teammates, and I want to go out there and put everything on the line to win. Obviously can't do that. I mean, can't be that way towards officials or really anybody in life. I probably regret acting like that. But more than anything, I mean, I regretted the way I acted towards Josh after the game because he had nothing to do with it.
And that's The Drive, Odyssey 610 Sports Radio. He appeared on and said that. And you know what? Good. That's fine with me. And I love Mahomes, the player, and I think he's a good guy. And that him saying that, I don't carry any ill will at all toward him. However, I just think you heard so much vitriol toward them and the reaction to that people are just sick of the Chiefs. And this is a team that hasn't won less than 11 games since 2015. Patrick Mahomes, as everyone knows, has never played a road game in the playoffs. They're always a top seed. The last 5 years for the Chiefs have gone AFC title game, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl loss, AFC title game, Super Bowl win. The regular season record in the Mahomes era entering this season, 64-18. Mahomes, obviously, multiple MVPs, multiple Super Bowl MVPs. Andy Reid, the head coach, was a guy that you rooted for because he never got over the hill, never got over to the mountaintop. He's done that now twice. And in general, there's this vibe that everyone is okay with the Chiefs getting their comeuppance because they've gotten some calls over the year themselves. Listen, I remember that Jets Sunday night game. I was mad about that game. And it was like, why do the Chiefs always get the calls?
How about the Super Bowl? It always used to be the Patriots.
How about the Eagles in the Super Bowl? So it's like, that makes sense, too, that there's a growing sentiment like, enough of these guys.
Well, it's like when I was watching Patrick Mahomes at the end of that game, I thought to myself, that is the reaction of someone who is not used to losing. And it was all over the place. He was so furious, and I could not stop watching. I wish that there was more camera shots of him. I
just
wanted like security footage, like from sides of buildings, to see every single shot of him, because we're just not used to seeing anything really negative with this team, them really face any true adversity. and any real flaws come out, and now we are, and it sort of makes it easier to be like, well, let's see more. What happens now when you put even more pressure on them, and will they break under it?
I think about like that 11-5 Patriots team that started 0-2, and like they were, Belichick was on the rocks, and when they went and beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, like vast amounts of the country were delighted by that because they had been that team that were on the outside, and like they were lovable winners, and it was a great time. Like, you know,
and the Rams were a superpower at that point.
They were. Yeah. And so that, you know, it's just post 9/11. It was just like something felt kind of pure and great about it. The next year they don't even make the playoffs. So it's like, they're not bothering us, but then they go win two straight Super Bowls. And
even that 2003 year, people weren't like sick of them then because they weren't expected to do it that year.
2003,
either.
Like they had not made the playoffs. It's like the Chiefs have been as close as we have to the next dynasty, and they've been perfect. And like even last year, it's like, oh, Mahomes has like a high ankle sprain. And then he's like, oh, I'm going to have my greatest rushing game in the playoffs. It's like whatever adversity they faced by Sunday, like they overcame it. Like, this is a different place, but it's just exhaustion in sports. Like, we're always craving, unless you're a Chiefs fan, you want a new story. It's tough. I think it's tough for Tony Romo to say the same stuff about Patrick Mahomes over and over. So it's like, show us someone new. Tommy DeVito is a fascination because it's like, no one expected this human being to be in our life.
They hate us because they ain't us. You know, no matter who you are at the top, it's going to be like that. And the Chiefs are a great test for it because they are about as likable. Like, in the end, Andy Reid is still going to be the guy moving his fingers trying to get those little nuggies. You know, you're not going to not like Andy Reid. You're going to love him.
And Mahomes is a nice guy.
Right, the next day, he's apologizing. Yeah. Even like Tom Brady, when you really pull it back, was like a tough guy to truly hate. But he was easier. He obviously had the Deflategate and all that stuff. But like in interviews and stuff, but Mahomes is even more difficult, to dislike.
The Patriots were perfect for the role because they were great for longer. They were in multiple scandals, and Belichick is Belichick. It was kind of everything made sense, so they were easy to hate. The Chiefs, not as easy, and yet I feel like people are starting to...
You just get bored. Just want something new, especially after last year.
Who wants to go? Who's got another one?
Okay. I figure I'm only going to go a second time, right? So
this is it, Greg. Make it count. Right.
The speed round of the ones I passed. You know, Allen and Diggs, I think, was kind of a fun one because that thing is still going on. That's weird. Mike McDaniel and Vic Fangio would be a classic sort of buddy cop thing where it's the young wisecrack and the old curmudgeon coming together to do a great coaching job. But I'm going to go Jake Browning and Zach Taylor just showing us, like, they're not just guys that were made by Joe Burrow, and they're making each other better. It's like a couple where like maybe neither of them caught your eye, and then suddenly they're out together, and you're like, God damn, they're both pretty hot. Like, this is a totally different
wait, what?
Bengals.
I'm sorry.
I don't know.
This
is a different Bengals offense completely than it was with Joe Burrow, and I know it's not gonna last like this, but the numbers are the numbers. Two of their three best offensive games of the year, really their two best offensive games, were by Jake Browning. They weren't by Joe Burrow. Like, that is pretty crazy. By EPA per play, by yards, everything like that, they've actually done better the last 2 weeks than any Burrow game this year, except for the 49ers game. And no one's saying, obviously, that they can stay at the level or he's anything like Burrow. But I give Taylor a ton of credit because instead of it being Burrow's offense where it's five... You know, everyone's spread out, and I'm just going to figure everything out, and I'm sort of the coach, ultimately. It's back to what Zach Taylor came from, and this matchup, we'll get into it, but I just want to point them out, especially. This is a great matchup for it because he's part of that McVay tree, and it looks like those teams. It's way more play action. It's much more under center. It's screen game, and you know what? Like, it's kind of helping some of the people around them do their best. Again, it's not a long-term thing, but I really admire the way they've adapted those two specifically as a couple, because Browning's playing great. We thought he was an example of, oh, these garbage backup quarterbacks that don't deserve to play. They knew something, and Zach Taylor's showing us something with what they've been doing.
This is the year where, like, a lot of coaches have had to deal with this, and some have survived, like Shane Steichen and Gardner Minshew have survived. Like, this pair have survived.
They've survived, like, with poor quarterbacks.
All right,
like,
this is in like contrast great. To, right. I can think of a couple teams where you lose your starter. Right. It's like curtains. It's total curtains. Mm-hmm. And there are a couple coaches that were hired to develop quarterbacks. Daboll's doing that right now. I'd say Stefanski's done it where it's like, you're in the mix. It's working. You're interesting if you're not in the mix because you haven't gone total flotsam jetsam at quarterback.
And he did it different way, which I guess I didn't. They've done that under Zach Taylor. They've closed strong. They've kind of adapted during seasons. And I'm pretty surprised to see them putting up, you know, 400 plus yards and 30 plus points back to back weeks. It's pretty wild. Against decent defenses, too, not against like trash bag teams.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to throw one out?
I have a quick one, okay. And we'll keep it quick. Like, we went down David Tepper Avenue with a lot of vengeance and a lot of fire, and I get it.
Vengeance?
Well,
I thought it was fun.
No. But just like, I mean, the whole football world was like.
The branding is important.
What?
Tepper be talking.
No, I mean, we handled it with in a ginger and informative way. But I would say this. I think in that conversation. All right, let's do this. That's fine. But so that, like, in that conversation, one name never came up, and I never really heard this person's name come up at all. And it makes me wonder about the coupling of David Tepper and Scott Fitter, because Scott Fitter is one of the more anonymous general managers around. And I guess we can say he has no power. Maybe Tepper's just doing everything. Fine. But I don't think that's the case. Like, Scott Fitter is 13-34. He made the trade to bring Bryce Young. I know it wasn't just his pick, but he is the guy on the phone negotiating a trade that looked pretty ridiculous to me. He went and got Sam Darnold. That didn't work. PJ Walker, that didn't work. He brought Cam Newton back in that weird little dose of time. That was weird. Baker Mayfield, who's gone on to Tampa to be functional, melts down there, and they cut him midseason. It's been totally chaotic. It's been an absolute nightmare visually. It's optically one of the worst teams in the league. Their future is strange. It's going to be tough to get a coach, and no one brings up the fact that they have a general manager that has done nothing correct.
Is this an episode of Federer Be Better? Yeah. Well, it's a sad situation, Mark.
I just think he's, you know, skated by, and why is he never brought up?
Well, is he the new Trent Baalke? Because I feel like Baalke a few years ago was getting all of the heat, and no one wanted to work with him. It was difficult. Now it's
here's
this.
My take on Federer Be Better this episode. Mm-hmm. Federer probably has the worst life in the world right now of any NFL figure. After what we were heard was happening with poor Frank Reich getting called into the office and just getting buried every Monday morning. Maybe there's a reason we're not hearing from Federer. Maybe he's in a dungeon somewhere.
Fitter. Well, it doesn't rhyme quite as easily, but it is Fitter. And yeah, this feels like a pilot that.
Fitter's in a dark place.
Fitter
right now.
Be better. Maybe literally. I don't think it's making it to season one. I think it's a one and done
spinoff.
Sorry.
Well, he could land somewhere else and then we could reboot it. Mm-hmm. So good app, though. Good app.
That's good.
Anybody else?
You guys already hit on Mahomes. Mahomes and his receivers was one kind of odd couple. Belichick and losing. But also, Robert Kraft and Meek Mill is one that they are always, it seems like they are at events
that
together.
That is an odd couple.
Always
they have been on the jet together, and they seem to genuinely enjoy each other's company. And I would just love to be there for a conversation between the two of them, because I bet it would be kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I do wonder if Robert Kraft was just a day-to-day Hammond Egger, like a barbershop guy just cutting people's hair. Like, does Meek Mill care about him? There might be something else.
Belichick as a barber would be interesting.
Well, and vice versa. I don't think if Meek Mill was cutting hair that Robert Kraft would be particularly interested in.
The power.
It goes both ways.
Power magnet.
Like, I want Robert Kraft listening to Dreams and Nightmares. That's what I want to be present for.
By the way, odd couples, teenage and 20-something men having pieces of you. I will say I think I had Jagged Little Pill, Alanis. I had that.
Mm. Yeah.
But
they seem very different to me. But that's a step in the right direction, I guess, if that's what we're.
Well, it's not the right direction.
I don't know.
Like,
I don't know.
I can't rise to your guys' level of like understanding.
No one's making a judgment. You didn't have it.
I can't get there. I can't get there.
But why does Alanis Morissette? Like,
we didn't say anything about your team. We had it.
I can't get there to where you are, Greg, but I'm just saying, I think I had Alanis. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't have Alanis, but I was a big Liz Phair guy. You know, I don't think she stuck, but I had a Tori Amos
Phair
album.
I've seen that as well.
I just hate that Dan hates Jewel. Like, I just don't. Spicer. I don't know why.
I had Tori Amos.
Amos. You would see some Amos.
Yeah. My brother went to a Tori Amos concert, and he was somehow in like the second row, and he told me that like, she spent the entire show, not out of attraction, like staring right into his eyes.
What?
There was a little bit of anger in some of her music, and I think she looked like
an ex or something. I don't know.
She'll pick one person and like focus on that.
I've heard of that.
Whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you do that at our live shows.
At our live show, I can't see anything. Like, it's just like, and also, you know, lots happening. So.
Vanessa Carlton, was she in that time?
That was a little later. A little later. I feel like I
Carlton
bought tickets and attended. I don't know which year it was, but it was definitely whenever Liz Phair was there, the Lilith Phair with my girlfriend.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
Greg.
I think it was probably 97.
Please right. find pictures. Someone right. must unearth a trophy. Them.
I'm not like I'm just fine. I just
the world's
share
most
it.
Comfortable man, Greg Rosenthal, went to Lilith Fair too and had the Jewel CD. Anything else you want to add to your resume, your CV?
That's about it. I think I think Sarah McLachlan was running that thing.
Oh, she
was.
Know
you know who was there? Missy Elliott. Because I remember when she walked
she
by
was at Lilith Fair.
Yeah, when she went by, you could touch. Her inflated outfit.
Oh, really?
So I remember, like, she came up, you know, the aisle, and you could touch the.
I don't care.
That let's please move on.
That Sarah McLachlan album that had the Building a Mystery bangers all over that one.
Yeah,
riddled
with surfacing, I believe.
Riddled
it was
with them.
Also, a Lilith Fair.
We're
stalwart.
Old.
All right, where are we at? We good with this?
Please.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, we're out of here.
Let's finish up with a fun way to hit these. Previews, because we got four to hit. There's a Saturday triple header, so that's starting now, and we have Thursday night football. So Eric, do you have, like, how we do want to clock it? Is that
yes.
what we want to do?
Yeah.
3 minutes, or is that what we want to do?
3 minutes is good.
3 is fine.
All right, how about this, just so we have a little bit, let the person set it up and then start the clock. Okay, and let's start with Thursday night football. So let's go in order here, time-wise. Greg.
I feel like I want to donate one of the minutes to a different game. Is that allowed? We already talked Herbert.
Do your best. Here we go. Chargers, Raiders. Go ahead.
Okay, so we got Easton Stick starting against a quarterback to be named later. We think it is Aiden O'Connell. One last time. I guess that would be where I start. If he doesn't play... Antonio Pierce has indicated, you know, maybe they'd go back to Jimmy Garoppolo, despite the risk that they would be taking injury-wise and what that would mean for their contract.
Wait, why?
I don't know. Wait, because he wants to win games.
But it's same ownership that benched Carr for the same reason, isn't it?
That's a good point. Mm. So maybe it's just idle speculation by
the
reporters.
Raiders are in a murky spot. Like, that's not a—I mean, it is the same ownership.
I think they want to win. AOC, you know, AOC versus Easton Stick. Big time. Easton Stick had a couple dimes. He also had some terrible throws in that little
Jimmy
appearance.
G is also like Mr. Glass. So the idea of Derek Carr is one thing. You can't even, if you tried to kill Derek Carr, you can't do it. People have been trying to do it for weeks now. But Jimmy G is like, that's a real roll of the dice. And for what cost? I don't know.
I don't know. They're both 5-8, so they're technically not eliminated.
I think if you're Antonio Pierce, like this
right,
matters
like that.
A lot. Like, I think he has a chance to not hopefully just be like a token head coach.
Yesterday
interview.
Hurt. I mean, last week hurt, but
it
still
did.
Got time.
Did, but like they've been a
but he's a
been
defensive
a better
coach,
right? And their defense was good, but they've been a better team. I mean, I don't know. It's like at this point, both teams are kind of drifting away. Like, how about if you're the Chargers and you're thinking about, you know, even next year? Like, Quentin Johnson came off a game where he had 91 yards. They were off two big catches late, but like, show us what you can do for the next month. Nothing matters. So the pressure's off.
That's
the pressure's off. Just go, like, a couple of these guys, like, we know, like, you're going to be there for the next coaching staff.
Nothing does matter at this point, especially for the Chargers. Their offensive line is also a disaster. So I was looking to see who the backup is to Easton Stick, and it's Max Duggan.
Oh, yeah, the TCU national championship guy.
So hopefully it doesn't come down to that. But I mean, watching Max Crosby, who was hurt in that game, he still is coming off a knee injury, and he played well in that game. I think he had 2 sacks. And so now he hasn't practiced all week either. But going up against Easton Stick, I don't know, guys.
Josh Jacobs might miss the game, too. Yeah. There's a thought that maybe they'll rest sit some of these guys at some point, but not yet.
And Davante Adams, who's one of my favorite players to watch in the league, it's just sad that he's just being wasted right now. And he had some comments this week that it was embarrassing what happened, the 3-0 loss, and how long did it take him to get over it? I mean, I'm moving past it. I'm not over it, but I'm past it for sure. I think he's going to add a lot of intrigue to the offseason, because I think it makes so much sense for them to trade him, and it's going to give them a premium draft pick, and it's him at age 31 or whatever it is going to a contender and likely a quarterback who can get him the ball. So he's, I think, in his final games as a Raider too. Anything else?
Yeah, Chargers, Raiders. Guys, you can watch the Thursday night game day kickoff on NFL Network. We get started at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's a 2.5-hour pregame show. So
there's another odd couple, you and Steve Smith.
To talk about. You know? I love Steve. Steve's the best.
2.5 hours.
Yep. All right.
All right, let's move to Saturday and a game, Vikings-Bengals. It's a good one. Good one. It's an important game for two playoff hopefuls who lost their franchise quarterback, but they're in different stages right now. It's good that you brought up where things are with Cincinnati and the optimism, but I also think that's interesting to keep an eye on because the Vikings lost Cousins to the Achilles. They trade for Josh Dobbs, who balls out for 2 weeks. Expectations go way up in Minnesota. Then they crash down to earth and Dobbs to the bench now. Nick Mullins starting. So now that overflowing praise that was once reserved for Dobbs, that's been shifted in some way to Jake Browning, who has, balled out for 2 weeks to raise expectations in Cincinnati. And now he has to see if he can make it go more than a couple weeks and help take Cincinnati to the playoffs. Hit it.
This game is huge for the Bengals. Obviously for the Vikings too, mathematically, but the Bengals are going to walk into a buzzsaw after this. All right, it gets tough. They are 7-6. They're exciting and they're a very intriguing, like wild card option. But they have Pittsburgh on the road after this, then Kansas City on the road, then the Browns to close out the season. So Jake Browning is not out of the woods on any front. But I just find them watching the last two games. It's like we've lost all these teams, we've lost all these storylines and narratives and quarterbacks. It's like one of them just got revived, like came out of the grave and is like not just marching slowly towards us, but sprinting towards us. And that's why the Bengals are fascinating to me.
But that's my point. Like just a little bit of caution because two game sample sizes are still small.
Right.
And I've been hurt now by the Vikings and Dobbs, who is so much fun, Greg. And now he is ancient history on that team.
He might be the third quarterback this week. It is going to be Nick Mullins, who can kind of operate the offense and has been in the offense, frankly, for multiple years. They brought him there in a trade to be the backup quarterback, and he would have been the quarterback, not Josh Dobbs, if he wasn't on IR at the time. So I get going to him. I still like the Bengals here because their defense has played well the last couple weeks. They've had a history of really improving late in the season. Like I meant, their screen game has just been insane. So I do feel like the Jake Browning has shown a little more sustainability in terms of the way they're running their offense, but he's playing a very difficult opponent. Vikings 6th in DVOA now defensively, 1st in points allowed since week 1.
Whoa.
The Vikings. And there was a quote last week from Aiden O'Connell, which I think applies here, which he said, they just make it so difficult to do our normal stuff. So this is like an ultimate test here for how hot Browning is. And a nice little assignment for our buddy Chris Rose, who's on the call for NFL Network. There's 5 games here. I'm going to be a company man, but this is a fact. There's 5 games this week that have 2 teams with winning records against them.
Ooh.
We got 3 in a row on NFL Network. They lucked out with the schedule here.
I like that Zach Taylor is not only coaching the team, but now he's coaching the fans as well.
Oh, yeah. Do we have that?
Do we?
I do challenge our fans. We got outstanding fans to drink one more drink and rush in the stadium and be as loud as you can humanly possibly be when Minnesota's offense is out there and help our guys. And
that challenge is one that I would accept if I was there.
Did he encourage binge drinking there?
It's also a 1:30 p.m. game, so.
Let's go.
Get
up early.
Get early.
It is like the counter opposite of Sam Weish telling the fan base to settle down and stop throwing garbage and items.
Yeah. So Zach Taylor. And then also Nick Mullins throwing for more yards in the fourth quarter relief effort that he had than Dobbs did all game. That game was such trash. Let's see a little bit of something in this game from them, please. God.
And
Justin Jefferson is back.
And that's great. And please, God, please, Vikings, win this game. Because if you don't, the team of ATL becomes...
No.
Well,
we can't have that.
No.
Can't.
I think they're going to lose this game, but they'd still be in the playoffs. They'd still be the seventh.
The second time the Vikings did that to us under the team of eight.
I think then they can rally, but I think this is a tough spot. But who knows?
You know what? You know, fool us once. Shame on
don't now you. Shame you, on you can't do worse than
fool us twice.
Fool me twice, can't get fooled again.
All right, next game. The Steelers and the Colts. Mark, tee it up.
All right, I prepared like a little. I like how you did this because I made a little pregame show.
Ooh.
Oh, sets the
great.
Table for you.
Excellent.
Okay?
A feast.
Let's hear. Let's try this. if Colleen Wolf, ice skating alone at the rink in quiet darkness before school, did not dream of fielding a perfect score at the Horsham, Pennsylvania ice skate fiesta, then the sliding doors nature of this life would not allow Colleen to be here today to tell us that Mitch Trubisky was a nationally televised disaster against the Patriots less than a week ago.
Mm.
If Greg Rosenthal had not toiled by lamplight in his teenage bedroom, crafting lines of rebellion for local Massachusetts emo sensation Delaware, he would not be here to inform you that Pittsburgh is the first team in NFL history with a winning record to crumble in back-to-back outings against teams sitting a full 8 games under 500.
Mm.
Ouchie. If Dan Hansis were not once in a parked car, his 10th grade gal pal Rachel Haynes St. Clair sitting shotgun, listening to Z100, night soot from the old coal town steaming up in the valley below, he would not be here right now to suggest that T.J. Watt and Alexander Highsmith are both a little banged up ahead of a skirmish between two 7-6 teams that absolutely matters to human beings who care about the AFC playoff race.
Mm.
Clock it.
Two winning teams.
Well done. I like the pregame show.
I don't believe in either one of them.
Look, Colleen said that. Colleen is pretty proof.
I can come on your pregame show.
Uh-oh.
I know Steve Smith would want to hear more.
Come on,
like that.
Come on over. You know, hey, we have a lot of time. 2.5 hours. So if you want to come by and
time's to start,
we don't get invited on anything. Let's be honest. We're in our safe space here. That's about it.
This T.J. Watt story has gotten surprisingly little attention. That he got clocked in the face to start that game. Then days later, one of the most respected coaches in the league is asked if he even undertook a concussion test. And Mike Tomlin's straight face answer in front of the mic was, oh, I assume so. He didn't have an answer for that 4 days later. If this was 4 years ago, this would have been the raging story we're all talking about. But everyone's sick of like blowing it with concussions.
Right.
And he had to change his visor to a tinted visor during
Come
that
on.
Game. This is one of the superstars in the NFL, and we're doing so wrong by them. And people have, I shouldn't do the people have given up because we are the people. Like, it's crazy to me, and I hope the NFL comes down on this a little bit. I doubt he's going to be in this game, which is quite a big deal.
That's
when
massive.
At the moment that the player says, I'm okay to play, but I need a tinted visor because the lights are an issue for me after that hit I took to the head, someone has got to be thinking bigger than we need to win this game tonight.
And
that obviously wasn't happening there.
In this same matchup, like there was a hit that Gardner Minshew took last week where when he got up,
it's happening.
He folded to the ground.
Oh, my God, that's right.
Like, so I don't know. Like, I think it just seems like I will get you on where Tomlin should have been 4 days later. But like during the game,
but
that's
on
Tomlin.
The NFL. That's on the spotter. That's on the whole system, which it really feels like has taken a step back for the first time since we've covered it.
Yeah.
I mean, the Steelers in general are just completely self-sabotaging at this point with the back-to-back losses against really bad teams. And I know traditionally, even when Big Ben played there, that was always their thing. They would lose to bad teams after like beating up really good teams. And now they're in this race where they can't afford to lose because they're racing for the wild card. Pittsburgh, Houston, the Colts, they're all in it together, which makes it kind of a fun game here.
Yeah, I think the Colts are the type of team that they're always going to play close games. So part of me wants to totally write off the Steelers because that's as bad a 5-day stretch as you're going to see in terms of a team like telling on itself and saying, oh, we're not for real. Like, you had your suspicions and then we proven all those. But like, it's the Colts. Like, so there is definitely a scenario where they win a game by 3 points here, and they win a 21-18 game, and they're 8-6 and in good position for the playoffs. That's just the state of the 7-6 mayhem.
It is. It's chaos.
We still don't have to take them seriously, though.
No, I mean, neither of these teams. It's weird. Minshew, like, played, I thought, okay last week for once, and they scored one touchdown. And usually he plays terrible, and they score, like, 30 points. The team makes no sense.
What was the name of the girl? Mary Claire?
It's factual, so you should know, but it was...
My memory's
Claire,
foggy.
Something St. Clair?
Rachel Haynes St. Clair.
Rachel Haynes.
From the St. Clair family. From the.
So was that
from,
a... Yeah.
Rachel Haynes was one of those two-namers, or that's her middle name?
That's the Haynes, like the fortune, right?
Yes,
like
so those two fortunes combined, Haynes. The St. Clair fortune and the Haynes. And you were like,
long time since then. I guess it just got froggy.
You
on
weren't
me.
Into the money part of it.
Yeah, no, that wasn't feelings. Important to me. All right, finally, Connie, give us a little Detroit Denver breakdown.
The prime time game of the triple header.
Where are you going to be?
I will be there. I will be in Detroit. Mm. I've never been. I've never been to Ford Field. I'm actually very excited about it.
Nice.
But for many different reasons, including that Sean Payton is visiting his old pal, Dan Campbell. Mm-hmm. And if you guys missed this, it's a nice little primer for this game. This is what Dan Campbell had to say about Payton visiting him.
It means we better be on our stuff because he's going to come here to try to embarrass us. That's what it means. Nice. And so that's our motivation. That's my motivation. And it's about winning, man. All we got to do is find a way to win. And,
yes.
We're going to have to be at our best, and we will be at our best.
We didn't do that, by
Let's
the way.
Let's go!
That was just naturally underneath that camp, whatever he speaks.
Yeah. That, I mean, just like when he orders his coffee, the band starts shows playing up.
He has
all
like
the time.
A speaker that was implanted in his biceps that just rips that song out.
Yeah. So, two teams with the longest playoff droughts. And when was the last time that the Lions have been this good, this late in the season? I think it's been since the 60s.
Last week, but yes, right. I mean before this season.
I'll raise my hand and say the New York Jets have had a longer playoff drought.
Well,
two of the longest.
Two. Yeah. I mean, they're up there.
It's been a very long time.
Yes. So I just am excited to see Ford Field filled with a ton of excited Lions fans for this team.
It's going to be a great scene.
This game matters so much for both of these teams. The Broncos are one game back from the Chiefs. They actually have a shot. There is a path for them to win the division. They're obviously in the wild card race too. And then the Lions are just kind of going through it right now. This is the time of year that you want to be playing your best football, and they've lost two of three, including that huge division game to the Bears. So it's just, I like the student teacher connection. Sean Payton and Dan Campbell, they go back so many years. Payton was the Giants quarterback's coach and then the offensive coordinator when Dan Campbell was drafted by the Giants. Campbell, if you guys didn't know, third
Keep
round
vamping.
Pick.
The clock hasn't started running yet.
Oh my God.
That's okay.
Start the clock.
I like
Someone
it.
Else go.
No, keep going.
I want to hear more about that. The lineage.
You're on a run.
They were together in New Orleans, certainly.
Yes, they were together in New Orleans. Although,
Stretch.
Dan, I can vamp. You need me to vamp? No problem. Vamping for 2.5 hours on Thursday in the pregame
there
show.
You are.
Take us home.
So, Dan Campbell, he was on that Saints team, but he was hurt, I believe, in training camp. However, Sean Payton made sure that he got a ring. They were together in Dallas and then obviously together in New York with the Giants. But he was a third round pick in 1999. They've been friends ever since, and now they're frenemies.
Oh, and he learned how to coach from him too. You know, being on that staff, and I think he's such a good coach. I love the way he put it on Monday about his players. He said, "I feel good. I think it's a positive because so many of our best players let us down on Sunday," which is just like such an interesting way
to
challenge. Put it. Like he said, like it was the players that always show up, our toughest, best players who didn't show up for him. So who's he talking about? Aiden Hutchinson thought had a really poor game, couple big mental mistakes, gave up big plays. Jared Goff, 34th out of 34 quarterbacks over the last 4 weeks, according to PFF, one of the worst against the blitz in the NFL, third worst against a blitz, according to PFF, and Denver does a ton of blitzing, and their offensive line stunk, and that's kind of what they are known for. Frank Ragnow and Taylor Decker, who were both banged up, missing Ragnow, who's their center, was a big deal for them, and they're both back at practice. So, I think it's a good matchup for Denver. I'm surprised you're such a big underdog, but this would be a spot you'd love to see the Lions respond.
Yeah, two ways this goes, right? The Lions either crater now, and we've begun to see them go down, and then they're going to end up kind of blowing their season here. Or, like a lot of teams, there's peaks and there's valleys, and maybe a primetime game is a chance to kind of get right and flush the last few weeks of frustrations. I'm leaning closer to that because I don't think they just became a bad team overnight. I think they're in a slump. But if they don't get out of it now, then you get really concerned that, you know, this team is on the wrong track.
I like that they don't play a game outside the rest of the year. I think that this is good for them. But they aren't a bad team, and I love their coaching. And I think some of it's correctable. But since like week 10, it's legitimately been like a terrible defense. I mean, it's shown. And like they are 30th in points per game allowed. 30th on opposing passer rating, 29th on opposing third down, 28th in sacks, 30th in turnover differential. And Goff's been up and down after being so clean for so long, a season plus back. And you're dealing with a Denver defense that might be the difference maker here, because they're allowing less than 16 points a game since week 7, and they've been creating turnovers left and right. And Goff has, I think, what, 6 turnovers? And like
right.
He's been a turnover.
My hope is, like, it was against division opponents who maybe know him well, but, man, he struggled. And it's a nice matchup because the Lions give up a lot of deep passes, and that's what Russell and Sutton are so good at.
That's right.
Good work.
That's going to be a fun pregame show and halftime and postgame. Mike Garafolo will be up there on the desk with us. Mm. Maurice Jones-Drew, Michael Robinson.
Good group.
Yeah.
You and Mike G got that good chemistry, too.
It's like he's my brother.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. Italian.
Exactly.
There you go again.
Uh-huh.
Colleen, you've said it all.
Thank you.
Anything else you want to plug?
panic. Panic.
You could just say no.
I think that's it, good. Really.
Check out Colleen on NFL Network Thursday and Saturday. And
oh, you know what? I do have something.
Oh, go ahead.
Guess what? I maybe, I think I'm going to be flying with the Thunderbirds, who are the, like, basically the Blue Angels equivalent of the Air Force.
Whoa.
What
do you mean flying with them?
I'm going to go up in a fighter jet.
Oh, Colleen.
And I have to wear a G suit because, like, you have a bunch of Gs, and I'm so excited about it.
For NFL Network? On behalf of
it'll be like Super Bowl related. So I'm gonna go up with one of the pilots that does.
You're going in a fighter jet.
Flyover. Uh-huh. I got medically cleared yesterday. Let's go.
Whoa. That is jealous.
That
wild.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah. I can't wait.
Can you see if Greg can go too?
Maybe, yeah.
Would you go?
I would go.
I'm like really worried I'm gonna pass out or throw up.
Yeah, do you not eat for a while beforehand?
I don't know. I need to find out. If anyone has any tips about flying in a fighter jet.
Yeah, you don't wanna be
let me know.
Kind of a niche, a part of the audience, but there's gotta be somebody out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome.
They used to love on the network showing this clip of Terrell Davis completely passing out when they did something
yes,
similar.
That is a great one.
And mm-hmm. he just was out
don't
cold.
Do
don't
no.
do that.
So what do I need to do to prepare myself?
Somebody out there. There's got to be somebody, a listener out there that has experience in the fighter jet. Let Colleen what she needs to know not to pass out. And then become, you know, a clip they use 700 times on this network.
Don't have like a burrito like right before. Oh, I feel God. Like is a good move.
That's a good one.
Her DMs are open. Feel free to chime in with anything you have.
Let me know.
Yeah. All right. We will be back tomorrow, Thursday, with our triple header, week 15 preview in bulk, NFL plus Dreamatorium, Thursday night football recap. Oh, it's all coming. It's all coming.
Exciting.
Till then. Heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
I'm late for a very important date.
Time is running out to score adult theme park tickets at child prices from Undercover Tourist. This summer, make your Walt Disney World vacation more affordable than ever. Escape into a place where magic has the power to transport you into stunning worlds and your favorite stories for less. Buy from Undercover Tourist, an authorized seller, and link to official Walt Disney World apps so you can add on Genie Plus and Lightning Lane upgrades easy. Book your adult theme park tickets at child prices with Undercover Tourist now and save. UndercoverTourist.com.
You ever get that feeling like the concrete jungle's closing in? You crave wide open spaces, the chance to chase your own dinner, or just breathe clean air. Well, listen up. There's a whole world out there waiting, and finding your piece of it just got easier. Head over to land.com. They've got ranches, forests, mountains, you name it. Search by acreage, price, location. They've got it all. No matter what kind of wild dream you're chasing, land.com can help you find the ground to make it a reality. So quit dreaming. Head over to land.com, find your open space, and get out there.